As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I don't think this Al Melchior, does this show have a name?
It is the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's truth in advertising.
You don't have a sub, there's no sub name like the Al and DVR show?
Nah.
The Al Melky Hour?
I like that. I think we have a new name now.
All right. I'm going to remember that for the outro. Now we need a song.
I think we can just do that. We don't need to check with DVR or anything.
No, I don't think DVR is not even editing this episode. I found out minutes ago. When he's off, he's off, man. Good for him. Al, what's up?
Just prep, you know, prep for a season that will maybe happen sometime.
Do you feel better about this? I mean, I was reading, all the reports yesterday. I'm like, oh, there actually is a little cause for optimism here.
Yeah, I think little is the operative word there. I mean, maybe a slight bit better, move the needle, maybe just a tiny bit for me, but I don't know. And I feel like I'm more pessimistic than the most. I think there will be a season. I'm not totally optimistic it's going to be close to a 162 game season. And I wouldn't be completely shocked if there wasn't a season. But, you know, I don't know. I have no inside knowledge. So this is all just negative gut reaction.
Well, I guess the logical conclusion to yesterday where they're inching very slowly, I mean, I guess the Players Association isn't moving and the MLB people are a little bit at a time. So, what happens today? You know, something's got to happen today. And then from that, something's got to happen tomorrow. And then maybe Thursday, all right, you know, this is okay. And then maybe we got something by Friday. And then maybe spring training, Al. Get excited.
All right. Yeah, I like the optimism. Sorry, I'm not bringing it.
My very vague prediction of how events will play out. All right, let's get to... So, you and DVR have been doing deep dives on depth charts.
Deep divisional depth chart dives. That's a lot of alliteration.
Doctor. I didn't actually look at any, I guess I could have because we all share the same document. But I just put a little twist on it. We're going to the AL Central today, five teams in the AL Central. And I gave us four categories for each team. One is, three actually, taking a shot on. That's a player, you know, we'll be taking a shot on. Mm-hmm. A player who will be on all my teams. You know, it could be anybody who's just going to be on all your teams because they fall to the right place or you feel like you should go the extra couple dollars on them. And then the Al Bold prediction and the Nando Bold prediction. So I think that'll get us to the same place as the depth chart dives, deep dives.
Yeah, with just a twist. I like it, Daddy-o.
Right. Here's a little break from the norm. So in the Central, we got the Cleveland Guardians, the Minnesota Twins, Detroit Tigers, Chicago White Sox, Kansas City Royals. Al, before we dive in, is this a very weak division to you, or is it one with a lot of young promise that can surprise a lot of people?
I think in between to just completely weasel my way out of that question, because it's
we're not going to see a wild card out of this division, right?
Probably not, but I wouldn't completely rule it out. It's better division than it's been the last few years because I do. Like the Detroit Tigers. I mean, I think they're really, really interesting. I think they maybe could could at least make a play for a wild card spot. You know, the Royals are I think getting a little bit better, and you know, if we can see maybe some better pitching from their prospects this year than we did last year, maybe they can make a little bit of noise. I still don't understand exactly why the Twins were as bad as they were in 2021. So, yeah, I don't think it's a totally awful division anymore.
All right. We'll go with some degree of hope. Seven on the Al Hopeometer. How's that? Too much?
I'd go six.
All right. Fair. We're going to get into the Tigers in a minute. You and I think, have very similar viewpoints on them. Maybe for the same reasons. We'll find out. But I want to start with the Cleveland Guardians, which is going to be impossible for me to say every time. Apologies in advance.
Off to a good start, though.
Yeah. So the Guardians. Look like a team. I mean, you know, probably not going to contend at all this year. They got Miles Straw, who I, you know, kind of forgot that they got. They made some of these late season trades that totally just blanked on. Ahmed Rizal, this is their lineup according to Roster Resource on Fangraphs. Miles Straw, Ahmed Rosario, Jose Ramirez, Franmil Reyes, Bobby Bradley, Stephen Kwan, Andres Jimenez, Austin Hedges, and Bradley Zimmer. The rotation right now, according to Roster Resource, Shane Bieber, Cal Quantrill, Zach Plesac, Aaron Civale, and Tristan McKenzie. Al, let's start with you. Who are you going to take a shot on?
This was a tough one. I, you know, noticed that I didn't talk about the Guardians and talking about teams that maybe could be better than we're used to. I don't really like this roster very much. So I kind of just defaulted into a position that I've been in the last couple of seasons and put down Aaron Civale, because he's not going to be a fantasy stud in that all of a sudden he's going to be helping a lot with strikeouts. I mean, maybe if he can, you know, at least provide some bulk innings, he can help in that category that way. But he's just been a good contact manager, and he wasn't really last season. So when I look at this rotation, and, you know, obviously Shane Bieber doesn't fall into the category of somebody that you take a shot on, I guess, unless you're talking about, you know, second round maybe. But
I mean, you know what, you could though. I mean, I would have qualified that because people are down on him. They don't think he's ready to come back from injury yet. So I would have accepted that.
Okay.
The people would have too.
I think I'm just as cautious, though, with Bieber as probably most people are. So I do think that, like, relative to the community, I'm probably a little bit more up on Civale. But, this is just basically me wish casting a return to, like, 2019-2020 more than anything that I, you know, see in the numbers. Like, oh, he looks like he's definitely due for a rebound and you know, and it's why I said 2019, 2020. I just double checked. He actually had a 4.74 ERA in 2020. Who remembers 2020?
Right.
But he got BABIP to that year. So, I mean, the skills were still pretty nice that season. But, so that's really, I didn't really want to pick anybody. I almost put nobody.
You could have put that. We could have talked about that.
Yeah. Probably not going to have a lot of Guardians on my rosters.
Al, are you a believer, though, that, like, Cleveland, because I, you know, you look at the Cleveland pitching and the pipeline and everything and what they've done in the past, are you a believer that does he get, like, the Cleveland bump for you because he is a Cleveland Guardians starting pitcher? I mean, does that give you a little more faith that he'll return because it's been so good?
I think a little of that is baked into my hopes for a rebound. But
fair.
Yeah, I know that, again, there's Zach Plesac. I went through this rotation and I thought, okay, you know, Bieber, I'm not really that optimistic. You know, Cal Quantrill kind of is who he is. We know who he is now. Zach Plesac, he's been kind of all over the place, but do I have a good reason to expect there's going to be a rebound in strikeouts there? Didn't really see a reason for that. So it's not like I'm really seeing that, like, there's a rising tide in this rotation. I think everybody's a question mark here. I mean, Bieber, obviously, with a higher higher starting point than everybody else, but McKenzie's obviously very, very interesting.
Yeah, well, I got him. I actually have Tristan McKenzie as my going to be on all my teams. I don't think, like, I think for what he offers with the high strikeout rate, the low ratios, I don't think people are on him as much as they should be. Tristan McKenzie's being widely kind of ignored. I don't know if ignored is the word, shunned, skipped over, pushed down. What's the term, Al?
I think you have several there that are good.
Why is that?
I mean, I think just, you know, doubts about what you could get from him in a full season. I mean, he'll certainly, you know, I think there's no doubt about the strikeouts. We, you know, we saw that in his first full season last year. But, you know, is there going to be enough elsewise to make him better than the late round dart throw that he's been so far? You know, coming off of the season with a 4.95 ERA, and he managed that with a 2.27 BABIP. So I think, you know, probably people are looking at that and looking at the relatively limited track record and thinking, okay, there's upside here. Maybe you can target him a little bit earlier, given that pitching gets super risky as it does every year, you know, once you get to the middle of the draft, if not before. But so, I mean, I think you've got an argument there, but
he's 236 in NFBC ADP.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's an argument. I mean, if we look at this, and I'm going to do some toggling, Nando, because I do have the ADP up, but I'm looking
What are you doing the toggling? I'd like to counter your 4.95 ERA with this 1.18 whip. Because I go to whip to me tells a truer story than ERA.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I mean, but again, that's the BABIP rate skews that even more than it's skewing the ERA. So
true. Right.
Yeah. It's a question. I mean, it's just who are you going to take him over? So I've completed my toggling task here and pulled up the pitcher view instead of just the overall view for NFBC ADP. And let's say you're going just inside the top 200, Tarek Skubal, Mike Clevinger, Hyunjin Ryu, you know, all three, a lot of variance right there. Tanner Houck. I would rather have Tanner Houck than Tristan McKenzie.
I would rather have those first three names and then McKenzie, then Houck.
Okay.
Actually, I'd take him over Ryu, maybe. Ryu's giving me weird vibes this year. But anyway, continue, Al. Sorry.
Okay, but we're sort of in the same place. I would rather have Houck, but I think, you know, we're seeing him as maybe somebody you could reach for earlier than he's going. So like you said, 234. Yeah, there's something to that. I wouldn't take him over Houck, but if we go just a little bit further, I wouldn't take him over Jose Urquidy. Joe Ryan,
you would take Jose boring Jose Urquidy ahead of Tristan McKenzie and his electric arm?
Yeah, because I think maybe I like boring more than a lot of people.
That's fair. All right.
If I think there's going to be some innings coming with that. But just behind Urquidy now, Joe Ryan and Anthony DeSclafani. Ryan, you know, I think I don't think he's going to, you know, perform as well over the course of a full season as we saw with the call up last year. DeSclafani, I mean, he's sort of boring, but I feel like the ceiling there is lower than it is with Urquidy. So now we're getting into a territory around pick 210. So that's, you know, that's 24 spots above where he's going. So
I'll take it. That's complimentary.
I would take that too.
Okay. All right. Reach for him around, says Al Melchior.
There we go.
Continuing on this depth chart deep dive, the guy I'm taking a shot on is Andrés Giménez. I guess I just have too much faith in his prospect ranking. I think last year, you know, everyone was just assuming he was going to start. A year ago, Al, everyone was like, oh, you know, Ahmad Rosario's got nowhere to play. He's irrelevant. Giménez is this, you know, the starter, whatever, whatever. And, you know, 2 weeks into the season, it was apparent that Rosario was better and Giménez went down and whatever, whatever. But I do think Giménez may not have batting average. I don't know. He's just young, still developing kind of guy. That's how I view him. So, I don't know. I'm not wild about him, but I don't mind taking a shot on a guy who has developing power, you know, has 30 steal upside, and, you know, maybe he'll hit 268 or something. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think that's unreasonable. He should definitely do a lot better than the 218 that he had last season. I think the, you know, he hit 263 in the short season 2020 back when he was a Met. And you look at the way he built that little bit above average BABIP rate for a speedy guy. That's, you know, he struck out more last year, but yeah, I think he's going to hit well enough and he's definitely going to play defense well enough that he'll get his reps and definitely could be a 20 steal guy.
I tell you what though, Al, if we're toggling, I'm looking at, you know, Spencer Torkelson at 261, Giménez at 265 and Julio Rodriguez at 270. Even though I'm saying I will take a shot on Andrés Giménez, I will not if that's the crowd that's surrounding him. Like, yeah, I will do whatever I can. Torkelson, I think, is going to end up being 100 spots higher by the time drafts roll around. And Rodriguez, I just, you know, that upside at that pick, if you're going between him and Jimenez, you know, if you don't already have your five outfielders and you're really scrambling for an infielder, then yeah. But I can't see another situation where you would take Jimenez over Julio Rodriguez. Which is what people are doing according to these ADPs.
Yeah, that is a little surprising, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see that change.
Hold on, am I doing this right? Let me just make sure I got the right filter on. let me just make sure before I spread some false information. Yeah, this is from February 1st to February 22nd, 2022, which is a mistake I make a lot, keeping it at 2021.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, you do that right? I mean, it's hard. Anyway, all right, so that's where we're at for the first couple categories. Al, let's have your bold prediction.
All right, well, my bold prediction...
I'm sorry, I never got to Emmanuel Clase being on all your teams. My bad.
Oh.
I got so excited about your bold prediction.
We could do that pretty quickly just because I look up and down this roster and I just don't see anybody who's screaming like awesome value. Like I said, I was sort of half-hearted in my endorsement of Aaron Civale as a guy that I would be drafting. So, Emmanuel Clase is... Clase.
Right, my bad.
Oh, okay, well... Go back and
Thank you for the subtle correction, Al. That was very nice of you.
I didn't even remember you saying that. It's so tempting to just say, you know, Clase closed.
Yeah. Not as good as the Al Melky hour, but.
No, it's not.
You expect it.
I'll not be topping that on this episode or any episode. but, you know, I mean, this is just, you know, somebody who legitimately will have a lot of value. I think last season showed that he's definitely better suited to close than James Karinchak and. I don't see him being challenged for the role. And, you know, while he might not be as great for strikeouts as some other top relievers, there's just not that many guys that you figure are going to be closers all season long, health permitting. And, you know, he's good enough to do that. And so that, you know, counts for a lot. So this is somebody I could see, you know, just drafting a lot because, you know, compared to the other players on the roster, because... If you're going to go the route that a lot of people are going in early drafts, which is go very, very aggressively for closers, I just don't see myself getting in the Hader Hendricks scrum.
Yeah, me either. I don't.
So
no.
So that's another. Yeah, so that's another reason why I think that, you know, Clase could wind up being on a lot of my rosters. You know, pick him up after the others make that first bold move.
Speaking of this bullpen, Al, both of our bold predictions have to do with players who are currently slated for bullpen duty, and I think we both took them out of the bullpen and put them in the rotation, based on what our predictions are.
That we did, but I feel like you kind of have to do that. I mean, this isn't specific to Cleveland, and not a knock on them specifically. It's just the way that rosters are constructed now, and the way that pitchers are used. That you know that even a healthy rotation is going to go 6-7 pitchers deep. Obviously not at all times, but that sixth, seventh pitcher on the depth chart is going to pick up some starts and some innings.
Yeah. All right, let's go, Al. Your bold prediction.
So bold prediction. Yeah. Right into that trend there. I've got Eli Morgan with 10 wins
this
year. You know, and I don't think he's going to be terrific, but, you know, he did not get off to a good start when he first came up, but, in the second half posting a 4.37 ERA. And given, you know, this rotation that, you know, I think that there could be, you know, health or performance reasons for, you know, those sixth and seventh or eighth pitchers to get some, you know, get a decent number of innings. And I think that Morgan could be good enough to just kind of stay in there, you know, while other pitchers kind of toggle in and out, you know, for whatever reasons. And I think he can sustain that, you know, four-ish, low fours ERA. And, you know, if he gets, you know, 120 innings or so, I think that's good enough for him to get into double-digit wins.
Yeah, a very impressive minor league career from Eli Morgan. And look, we saw this from, like, Zach Plesac in this rotation came out of nowhere, right? It's not like Cleveland doesn't grab these people out of nowhere. You know, not every pitching prospect has that big name. So... The Logan Allens falter and the Zach Plesac pop up out of nowhere.
Exactly. You know, literally, the Logan Allens, or at least this particular one, has not fared very well so far. So I think Morgan's pretty secure in that sixth slot at the very least. And
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
No. I was just going to say, and I feel like for the bulk of the time that he pitched last year, he showed that he can stay in the rotation as long as there's an opportunity for him to do so.
You and I will be going head to head, I guess, and rooting because I have Anthony Gose as having 100 strikeouts this year, which doesn't necessarily mean that he'll be a starter. I think I think he can get 100. The way his K rate is so insane, you know, I think he'd only need, let's say, since we're being bold, 70 innings to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
So some spot starts, some long relief, and he's got 100 strikeouts.
Yeah, no, definitely could be. I'm looking at projections now for Gose, and the most optimistic one in terms of strikeouts, actually, both Fangraphs depth charts and Zips have him for 71 over 58 innings.
Oh, so, well, that's kind of a weak. My bad. I should have checked those first.
No, I don't think it's weak. I mean, that's 29 strikeouts away. So he needs to elevate the rate a little bit. And
yeah, right. That's 40%.
And get above the,
yeah, okay, there you go.
Yeah, and nobody's got him even with 11 strikeouts per nine. So I could see him going a little above that. And I mean, where I have more questions is about the innings.
Sure.
And him really, you know, if he were to start really, you know.
Well, says the guy who likes Eli Morgan. We're taking all your innings.
You have a good point there.
No, I didn't mean, I meant you're trying to be so pro Eli Morgan that you don't want Anthony Gose anywhere. All right, let's go to the Twins.
There could be room for both.
Let's get to the Twins. I think we maybe went a little long on the Guardians. I'm just looking at the clock, but who cares? This is good stuff, Al. Minnesota Twins kept their name the same in the offseason. Al, who are you taking a shot on?
Twins roster, yeah, this one was a little more enticing to me. This one was actually really easy. Bailey Ober. I was looking at his stats page a few days ago and had kind of forgotten like how solid his rookie season was. More than a strikeout per inning, fewer than two walks per nine. Definitely had a home run problem. You could expect that to persist to some degree because he has been a fly ball pitcher all the way through his minor league career. But he was giving up almost two homers every nine innings. I mean, you figure even with the fly ball tendencies, I mean, he's not in an extreme home run home venue. So you figure just by that alone that you figure Ober's going to cut back on that. That's going to help the ERA. The ERA last year, just a little over 4.19. And the estimators were not really in a total agreement about that. But Sierra's the estimator that I tend to lean on the most, Nando.
Okay.
And they had Ober at 3.82 last year.
Nice.
So yeah, that says to me that that particular estimator definitely sees some help coming in terms of the home run rate. And when you look at the, again, relative lack of depth in this Twins rotation, I don't see any threat to Ober's innings. They're gonna need him. And if you look at those peripherals, that the key is the home run rate. And as long as you can keep the ball at the park, something much closer to an average rate, you're looking at, possibly a sub 4 ERA over, maybe 140, 150 innings.
This is such an interesting team, Al, to me. Under the surface, and you're saying there's no threat, and I agree with you. Like, I mean, you're even looking at the back end of that rotation, and you look at their top minor leaguers, and you're like, I'm not really feeling like anyone is going to jump up and take that job. I do like Jarrell Cotton, though, as a long man. If you go to Roster Resource, obviously they got Jarrell Cotton slated as the long man out of the bullpen right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I think we worked together from 2012 to 2014, and been friends ever since. I feel like Jarrell Cotton was in that CBS era, but I guess not. That would have been 8 years ago, and he's 30. Yeah, I guess it would have been coming up. Maybe he was. Jarrell Cotton in the early years.
The years kind of blur, Nando.
They do, right?
But it does seem like it's been a long time. Could be.
Yeah. Anyway, I just like seeing his name pop up. I think Tim Beckham's a non-roster invitee for them. They got some interesting guys floating around. Anyway, so Bailey Ober, my shot, speaking of CBS, is Brent Rooker. Mm-hmm. And it's because our buddy Herc, who we worked at CBS with, Michael Herkum, CBS Herc on Twitter if you really want to ride, he's gotten into collectibles and he's really gotten into cards, and he was showing me, you know, this is my Brent Rooker like area. He's got, I think because he lives by wherever they spring train, but he's got like the autographed hat, he's got a ball, he's got some cards. And I look, you know, I was never on Brent Rooker, and Herc is actually a really good evaluator of talent. We're in the Scott White Dynasty League, all of us together.
Mm-hmm.
And he does well. He's got a lot of, when you go searching for prospects when you're ready to sell every year, you know, like every June when it's like, oh, the deadline's coming, let me see what I can get from anyone. Herc's got like a bunch of good prospects every year, year in and year out. And it's more remarkable in Scott White because it's very hard to get good prospects because you can bid on them in the auction. It's a keeper. It's a dynasty league, so you can bid on them for a buck. And, you know, in 3 years, they'll still only cost you $6, I think. And then there's a draft, and the draft is built so, you know, you can pick whoever, and you refresh if you move someone up from the minors. But you don't have to move anybody up from the minors. You can have guys who are 3-4 years, 10 years into the majors. As long as they were drafted in the minor league draft, they remain in your minor league system. So, long story short, I trust Herc's opinion on these things. And even though I don't like Brent Rooker's batting average, I do like the power potential, and I just trust Herc here. I'm willing to say, like, hey, that, you know, I can listen to someone else. So that's my monologue on Brent Rooker.
I mean, the you know, I agree with all that assessment. I mean, the power is really enticing. Strikes out way too much, but, you know, you could say that about a number of players who don't lack for at bats. But there's some outfield depth here, so I'm just not sure he's going to amass enough of those at bats. But is this a situation, you know, sort of like we were talking about with the Guardians rotation, where, you know, you just think that is maybe the fourth outfielder, he's going to, you know, find enough time to compile some stats?
Yeah, I would assume. I mean, right now Roster Resource has him in a platoon with Trevor Larnach, so he could wrestle that one away from him, right? Maybe?
Theoretically, yeah.
Do it for Herc. You're right, though. All right, player's going to be on a bunch of our teams. I'm not going to wait. I mean, Jorge Polanco is just someone I'm going to be going that extra mile for, basically. You know, I'll go like $5 or $6. I'm sure I'll get locked into a bidding war with someone else in a 15-team league who really wants him. But I don't care. I think I'm ready to pay up big time for Jorge Polanco. Who'd you have?
I had Mitch Garver. Because
elaborate, please.
Well, I mean, you know, a little bit of a similar story to Rooker, except with no playing time questions and at the catcher position. And yeah, I know that there are a good number of catchers who have raw power and aren't necessarily going to help you in batting average. But Garver, first of all, maybe he does help you in batting average because the strikeout rates have not been outrageous. I mean, they're worse than average, but they've been low enough that in the last two full seasons, he's batted above 250 in each of them, back to 273 in 2019. So might not be a liability in terms of batting average, and just a lot of home run power there. And 2020 definitely, you know, DVR and I have talked about this, Nando, where, you know, we're trying to figure out still how to deal with 2020. Yeah. And whenever it looks like an outlier, I just pretty much disregard it. And maybe in some cases that's a mistake. Maybe
I do the same thing. No, yeah. I do the exact same thing.
Right, here's the barrel rate trend for Garver. So 2019, 15%, 2020, 8.3%, 2021, 17.4%. It's like, oh, okay, this guy's got an elite barrel rate if you ignore 2020.
Yeah, I'm so in on that with you that I may overuse that a lot too. You know, like I've got this cough. I can't take the next 4 days off of work. It's like, I don't like what this guy looked like in 2020, so I'm just going to dismiss it as if not caring about 2020, basically.
It's just, there's just so many variables there with, you know, players' readiness, the small number of games, everything just being very weird.
Even just worried about getting COVID. I mean, that was, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that was just when you could get it and you could, you know. Remember, Clint Frazier was wearing masks during games and he was saying, like, some of the coaches here are old guys. You know, a lot of us go home to our family. You know, they weren't in a bubble. So that can mess with someone.
Pre-vax. So
there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. The Al Bold prediction.
I don't feel like this is so bold, and yet this is out of line with the projection. So I guess it's kind of bold, but I could easily see Alex Kirilloff batting 280 with 25 home runs, and looking down the line at the projections that are published on Fangraphs, nobody's got him for even 20 home runs, and nobody's got him for a 280, although a couple of systems have him in the 270. So that part's not particularly bold, but I just do think that there's power upside here. Kind of gets back to, now I don't remember which player you were, I think maybe it was Andrés Giménez, where you're saying you're still just believing in the prospect pedigree.
Yes.
And that's essentially what this bold prediction is based on, is just the prospect pedigree of Kirilloff, because, you know, he barely played in AAA, you know, missed a lot of time. And so I still think that maybe the minor league numbers, which don't show a whole lot of power, you know, maybe don't reflect the power upside that is actually there.
I said, let's go bold and make it 31 home runs. 280 with 25 is like Grady Sizemore prime, you know, like let's go 31 and make him a power hitter.
Well, and you know, maybe I wasn't bold enough. And part of two, not just the pedigree, but the Statcast. The Statcast numbers, 12.8% barrel rate last year. And if you're thinking that doesn't really look, you know, commensurate with the numbers that he put up, 8 home runs and 231 plate appearances, X slugging has him at 541, which is almost 120 points above where he actually landed.
There you go.
So, yeah. Let's make it 31.
All right.
make it bold.
Mine was Dylan Bundy's going to have a sub 3.5 ERA. For me, it's, you know, he's done it once before in his career. He was supposed to have done it many, many times. I think Baltimore messed him up a little bit. But he went to LA after Baltimore. This is one of those 2020 numbers we're not going to throw out.
Yeah.
Dylan Bundy had a 3.29 ERA, 2.95 FIP, and a 1.04 WHIP with a 9.9 K per nine. For me, it's a change of scenery. That's all. You know, I went up and down this. You know, when you had trouble with Cleveland, like I was looking at Minnesota for like a bold prediction, and I didn't really have much. That was the best I could come up with.
Well, you want a reason to take that 2020 seriously? Let's do the barrel rate trend for him.
Yeah.
2019, 5.3%. 2020, 4.6%. 2021, 10.3%. Outlier.
I like it. 2020 it is.
I do think there's something to this. 350 seems, you know, optimistic to me, but again, that this is bold.
You know, it's got to be bold, right? Yeah, you can't say his sub 4 ERA. No one cares about that, Dylan Bundy.
But, yeah, I think, you know, he could have more of a rebound than the projections are looking for him. And, you know, that's the job of projections, to kind of find the safe, reasonable space in the middle. But, you know, they've all got him mid to upper fours.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't see any reason why he couldn't be closer to four.
Look, worst case, you'll get a lot of strikeouts if we're wrong about this. If Al and I are wrong about this Dylan Bundy sub 3.5 ERA, then you'll get a strikeouts at least nine per nine. So you're welcome.
Yeah. Those were down last year, but again, could rebound.
Come on, Al. You want to bring Kirilloff up to 35? I will.
I can't be that bold.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, the Detroit Tigers, Al. We teased them early on, and I don't know how, you know, you and I reach the same conclusions, but sometimes through different means, which is why I'm very interested to see where you're at. Before we get into who we're taking, what's your take on the Tigers? Is this Is this an amazing pitching staff that no one's recognized yet with underrated hitters?
I think it's something like that. I mean, I do think people are you know, recognizing the potential of this pitching staff. I mean, you know, we saw them take a big step forward last year with Mize and Skubal in particular. I'll leave it to you to talk about Matt Manning, but I know that you're not alone in having some higher hopes for him this year.
Well, spoiler alert, Al. Come on.
That's all right.
All right.
Haven't totally given it all away.
Okay, sorry.
And Eduardo Rodriguez, sharpening that the top of that rotation.
Really learning into you. I mean, like, you mentioned it, I thought jokingly, but you really are leaning into this boring thing. Like, I can't think of a more boring pitcher than Eduardo Rodriguez.
What do you call it? Like, what? Because I leaning is too active. Like, I've been leaning.
Al Melky Bore.
Another potential name for the show. So, yeah, I think that the pitching is maybe not that much of a secret, but, you know, I think there's obviously room there for it to be even better this year. And then, yeah, you've got, you know, Spencer Torkelson, spending probably the bulk of the season, and a lineup that, you know, got more interesting last year with Robbie Grossman hitting a new level. And, you know, we'll see if he can keep it for another year. Akil Baddoo is the Rule 5 guy. It's an interesting lineup, and this is not a player that I wrote down for any of our categories, but I am also sort of intrigued by Derek Hill.
Oh, wow. Right. All right.
He, you know, kind of slots in as a fourth outfielder. So there's some depth. There's some young players here. There's Javi Baez in the thick of it.
Yeah.
Offensively.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's, I like this kind of team. That's kind of, you know, it's an exciting time. When you've got these up and coming players and the front office is making some moves to, you know, help them out with some solid veterans, and
your manager's won World Series.
Yeah. I mean, there's just, I think a lot to be excited about here.
All right. Let's get to our categories then, Al. You're going to be taking a shot on.
I put Isaac Paredes. This was one that was, again, maybe a little bit of a stretch for me, because when you talk about, you know, taking a shot, I think of that. I mean, we talked about Shane Bieber maybe being in that category, but generally, you know, we're talking about players who are late round, maybe even reserve round. And, you know, there are a lot of exciting players that I don't necessarily think I'm like ahead of the curve on. So I think Paredes is one of those, you know, up and coming, you know, young players who I think could be better and play a bigger role than is being given credit for in terms of ADP and projections. I mean, has not shown any power at all in limited major league exposure, but I think there could be an uptick there. And obviously he's got the great plate discipline, and you know, maybe he could be somebody who scores a lot of runs, somebody who could be really valuable in OBP, maybe, you know, winds up hitting for average. So, Not an all-around player, but I think somebody who you could get late, even in some pretty deep leagues, who could be very helpful.
I'd really like to see, like, this team has, I mean, Fred is fine, but, like, Robbie Grossman or Akil Baddoo, who can hit at the top of this lineup. And whoever wins that battle, and maybe they end up 1-2, there are a lot of runs to be scored there. I mean, that's a 100-run player there that is going to go relatively cheap in a lot of roto leagues.
Yeah, you know, and Grossman's interesting because I'm not necessarily believing in him sustaining the gains that he had last year, but, you know, even with a little bit of regression, just the placement near the top of the lineup, that makes him pretty intriguing.
My guy is Daz Cameron, and the batting, I mean, this is not, like, which is weird, like, these players I'm taking shots on, don't get it confused with the players I really like, because like this trend of players I'm taking a shot on, they all have low batting averages, and that's not usually where I go.
Mm-hmm.
But Daz Cameron, like, I mean, throughout the minor leagues, he's got, you know, flexing a little bit more power, and, you know, he's established himself as a speedster. Really, the batting average is, I mean, if you're not playing points league, you're gonna get the strikeouts, whatever. But you know, if you're just talking straight roto categories, I think Daz Cameron's got. He's I don't want to say 25 potential, but I think if you realistically put him in for a full season, which I don't think you can do anyway right here, but mm-hmm. if you do, you're talking 1825 potential, I think. I don't know what the batting average. It's not going to be 194. It could be 250. But it's interesting. And you put him in that lineup, and you know, you got a couple guys here who have hope in that lineup. That's, you know, RBIs and runs are going to just – they're going to count. So I don't know. Daz Cameron to me is someone interesting who I might just – at the very, very, very end. We're talking like draft champions. Take a shot on him.
I like it. I like it, Nando. And I do think center field is pretty wide open here, and I like the other candidates as well. I mean, I talked about Derek Hill. I've liked Victor Reyes. Seems like maybe he took a little step back last year, but that's probably one of the bigger obstacles for me being as high on Cameron as you are, is that I just don't see him necessarily being, you know, the obvious guy to rise up top out of right. that center field group. But it, you know, it's not like Reyes or Hill are, you know, these impenetrable obstacles to regular playing time.
That's it. Whenever anyone comes up with that, I'm like, you know what? Adolis Garcia. Like forever, that guy has like established for the next 5 to 6 years any wild idea we might have on playing time and someone getting playing time. Like Jonathan Singleton is a 50th round pick for me in draft champions because of that. Like you just never know how things are going to shake out. Someone has a good spring, a couple of guys get injured, and boom. Jonathan Singleton's your DH for the Milwaukee Brewers. So all it takes is a couple things for Daz Cameron to be the starting center fielder.
Yeah, and then you've suddenly got a power speed option that not very many people are looking at right now.
There we go, Al. the player who's going to be on all your teams, for me, it's Matt Manning. I was actually looking at ADP, toggling. He's all the way down. So I guess when I drafted him, I got him at pick number 393. Right now he's down to he's 485 overall. He's on average pick number 560.19. He's gone down, somehow gone down from the time I did this a month ago, this draft, 167 spots, which I find absurd. I thought he was going to be a helium guy.
Yeah, I have no explanation for that, but I feel like those ADPs could actually be even lower given just how utterly miserable he was in AAA last year. And I understand that, you know, he actually did most of his pitching for the Tigers and, you know, somehow was actually better at the big league level than at AAA. But it's, you know, those peripherals were not terrific either. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, banking on him putting things together this year. And given the weirdness of the last couple of years, I don't think it's a bad play. I mean, you look at the numbers prior to 2020 and, you know, they were pretty promising. So, you know, why not for a guy who's just turned 24?
Yeah, right. I mean, come on. He was supposed to be the best of the three, I think, at some point.
Definitely in the same breath. And, you know, that's good enough.
All right. Al, who'd you have? Who's going to be on all of your teams?
I put Javier Baez, and that's a little bit biased, no pun intended.
I was gonna take that one if you weren't.
by my early mocks, because I've wound up with him, and I think it's just, and again, you know, I mean, I like the fact that you've got Baez, who's very likely to be hitting in the middle of this really dynamic batting order, but I think it's just more sort of like I was talking about maybe winding up with Class A a lot, because I don't see myself getting Hader or Hendricks. I look at the shortstop landscape and see how deep it is. And in the mock so far, I've waited on shortstop and Baez is who I've wound up with. So I'm perfectly happy to get the speed, power, batting average potential that he brings. And, you know, at the same time, not take a shortstop early.
31 homers and 18 steals, even with that trade to the Mets. And I think people think he's older than he is. Like he's 33 and broken down, but he's 29. You know, Al, he's still prime.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no reason why he couldn't repeat last year or this year.
Al, let's get to your bold prediction, which I love.
Tarek Skubal will be a top 30 starting pitcher. I'm surprised at where Skubal has been going so far. And I don't know, you know, if we talk about, you know, going for pitchers because of all the uncertainty and inconsistency and health risks that are in the pool. Skubal's going within the top 200, but just barely. And you look at how dominant he was at times last year. Now, of course, the flip side of that is that when he wasn't being utterly dominant, he wasn't very good. He was giving up a lot of home runs. But you know, as a young guy who was a top prospect, I think he can figure it out. I think he can get more consistency. And at the very least, if you look further up the rankings, like why is he going 20 spots after Michael Kopech? When we haven't really seen, Kopech go deep into games on a regular basis. Why not take a flyer on Scooble over Sonny Gray? Who at this point is kind of boring, or Marcus Stroman. So, yeah.
How about Mike Clevenger? Mike Clevenger and Scooball in February ADP are right next to each other.
Yeah.
94 and 195.
That's tough.
I don't mean to put you on this. You don't have to pick one.
I think it's a good question. I mean, at that ADP, I probably am going Clevenger. But yeah. I mean, I also just, I think it maybe be, maybe I'm kidding myself, but I think it'd be less controversial to say, hey, Mike Clevenger could be a top 30 starting pitcher. I don't think people would blink at that.
Right, because he's done it.
Right.
Scooball hasn't done that yet. He hasn't had that Clevenger season yet.
Yeah, but yeah. I think he could as soon as this year.
Nice. Mine was Spencer Torkelson, who hit 35 home runs, which I'm starting to think I should have said 40. I don't think 35 is bold anymore. It seems like everybody's on Spencer Torkelson now.
Yeah, but rightfully so.
Right. I mean, there's nothing wrong. He's going to be amazing. Someone actually tried to get him from me in our score sheet league for not a lot. I didn't even write back.
Oh, man. That's a statement, Nando.
All right, let's keep. We're going to go over this time here. This is getting long. So we got the White Sox and the Royals still to go. I put the Royals last because they're, who cares, right? Like, Royals don't really have much to choose from at the moment.
But that's what makes them a little bit interesting.
That's all right. Then let's blow through the White Sox then. I'll be taking a shot on Gavin Sheets. I'm intrigued at what he did last year with double-digit home runs and not a lot of at-bats. He does have a history of that developing power in the minor leagues. I don't know. Again, don't love him. He's not like a Nando guy, but I think I will take a shot on Gavin Sheets at the right price at the right time in a draft. Al, how about you?
I will help speed this along, Nando, because I know that I wrote down Andrew Vaughn. But yeah. I wanted to write Gavin Sheets, but I thought
we could have done both. But that's fine.
So let's do both, because I do love that power potential, and Vaughn just does not seem to be from whatever in Tony La Russa's good graces, and that the playing time's not a given for him. So maybe Sheets gets the shot to play regularly, and we see more of that power.
I've got split rooting. Coming up because Yolbert Sanchez is my new obsession. But we'll get to him in a second. The player who's going to be on all my teams, for me, it's the guy who just crapped on, Michael Kopech. I don't know why I just made him very Eastern European. Michael Kopech. Al, who do you have?
I have Dylan Cease. This was a tough one because, again, I mean, it was kind of hard for me to find a player on the roster that I feel like, oh, I'm going to wind up with this player because I'm so much more optimistic than everybody else is. But I like where Cease is going so far in early drafts. And I mean, I buy the breakout last year. So I think for him to be he's going 83rd currently in NFBC ADP. And, behind Joe Musgrove, behind Jack Flaherty, Max Fried, maybe I am ahead of the crowd on Cease because I'd rather have Cease than any of them.
I think I would rather be ahead of the crowd than behind it, Al.
Depends on the player.
There you go. Yeah. The Al Bold prediction. Would you, oh, by the way, I appreciate your use of accents in the rundown that no one's ever going to see. That's dedication. That was really great.
Practice, Nando. Practice. And you see it.
That's true. And I do appreciate it.
All right. Well, so I've got Yoan Moncada not even cracking the 15 home run mark when the projection systems all have him like right around 20. Not super bold, but I think that maybe shows that there's a conventional wisdom that last season was a power outlier for Moncada, and there's definitely an imminent rebound. But let's play the barrel rate trend game again. 10.8% in 2019, the year of the rabbit ball. Last season, 6.2%. Or I'm sorry, 2020, 6.2%. Last season, 8.2%. So really sort of middling power the last couple of years, and that rabbit ball year is his only year with a double-digit barrel rate. So maybe projection systems are building that season in with just a little bit too much weight.
What do you think his line will be when it's all said and done?
I think,
like, I just want to know if there's going to be some balance here or if this is going to be a bad season for Moncada.
I think what you got last year, I think what you saw is what you get. Maybe a, well, yeah, I was going to say maybe a slight rebound, but, you know, really, I think that's pretty spot on. So I think you're looking at, you know, probably about a 260, 265 average, right around 14 home runs again. You know, his run production last year, 74 runs, 61 RBIs, maybe a little bit better there. Projection systems generally have him scoring more runs and driving more in. But I think, yeah, maybe just a very, very slight uptick from last season.
All right. Mine was Yolbert Sanchez will get 450 at bats. I know this is like probably gonna be the Larry Garcia job, but I don't like, I just look at Yolbert Sanchez and where he is in his career and how he's, you know, played in Cuba for a while. He's a little bit older. His batting average, his on-base percentage is amazing. There's just, you know, you can't keep a guy like that down for too long. And I know they did it actually with Yermin. This is the same team that did that to Yermin Mercedes. But I don't know if they're going to make the same mistake twice. He just looks too good. You look at his numbers and there's not like a huge impressive power display. He didn't steal, like, he's never stolen more than five bases. It's not like that 25 stolen base season, but he's a hitter, man. That average is very, very good. And, you know, older, seasoned. I just think he's going to find a way to get a bunch of at-bats, if it's a utility guy or whatever. But I think he's going to find his way in the Major League roster, and he's going to get a bunch of at-bats. So I've got Yolbert Sanchez getting 450 at-bats.
I love this. I love this. So. Yeah, and I mean, you know, first I thought, Nando going against Larry Garcia. I can't believe this.
It hurt.
Yeah, I'm
sure
it did.
You know, he got paid, so I'm happy. He's good.
But yeah, I don't know that I feel comfortable saying that it's you know, it's Garcia's job. Like, I just don't know that he does offer enough defensively for them to put up with the mediocre offense. And then, yeah, you've got this 24-year-old with, you know, terrific plate skills. I mean, maybe not a great eye, but, you know, great contact skills. He's intriguing. I like this call.
It'll be fun.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
To the Royals. Let's wrap it up, Al. I think we're both taking a shot on very kind of similar-ish pitchers. I've got Jackson Coar, and you have...
Brady Singer. Your guy's more interesting. And definitely more upside there. But
I feel like mine's more obvious. Yours is like, oh, why? You like Brady Singer, huh?
I really do like Brady Singer. I think this is a guy that I know that this is not the question, who are you going to wind up having on all your teams? But I think maybe he could have been the answer to both, because this is a guy who's really being ignored, you know, coming off of a season where he had almost a 5 ERA. And I like the skills. I mean, this is now 2 years in a row where he's been absolutely elite at freezing batters. And it's not like, you know, he doesn't get whiffs either. So, I mean, a strikeout per inning or more, I think is sustainable. You know, not necessarily a great park, because you know, there could be doubles and triples at Kauffman, but a good park, you know, to really avoid the big damage with the home run. And over the 2 seasons I've pitched, Singer has a barrel rate that's below 6%, which is also pretty much elite. So it's just a nice combination of indicators from his first 2 seasons. And last year, he did give up too many line drives. He got BABIPped. He had a little bit of a strand rate issue that might not have been his own doing. And I think he could really surprise people.
I mean, we heard Brady Singer's name being bandied about, I want to say, back in our CBS days, Al. But that wouldn't make any sense.
Probably not. It's
yeah.
Nice to imagine, but...
I'm just revising history. But, I mean, like, we've heard his name for a while now, where I think, like, you know, he's not quite Bubba Starling, but... You know, we've gotten used to seeing that name.
Yeah, and I think we will see it more this year in a positive light.
Nice. Jackson Cower, I mean, like, you can just look up his numbers. He's pretty good. You know, nothing that's going to blow you away, but he's at like 600-something ADP. So at that point, you might as well just be like, yeah, let me grab this guy in case he's a starter in the rotation and, you know, strikes out 9 per nine. Let's go to – oh, sorry, go ahead, Al.
Yeah, I was just going to say, why not?
Why not? Player's going to be all my teams. For me, it's Chris Bubich, which I think that's how that's how I'm going to say it. Michael Kopech and Chris Bubich.
Yeah.
So I was just going to go ahead with you. I mean, we've seen him. I think if you look at his minor league numbers, again, his ratios are super low. He just hasn't been able to put it together yet for a long enough stretch in the majors. He did have a nice little run at the end of last year, or maybe it's 2020. But anyway, Al.
I've got Whit Merrifield. I feel like this is kind of a boring, obvious answer, but sort of like I've justified some of my responses with the other teams by looking at the shape of the position of the player. I just look at second base, and I just want to get in on that early, you know, while I can afford to wait out shortstop. I don't feel like I can afford to wait out second base for very long, and, you know, Merrifield could get you a lot of steals, you know, into your lineup, you know, fairly early in the draft, and free you up to pursue a different balance in the later rounds.
Well, I mean, he's going to be hitting the top of lineup that you might think like Kansas City, whatever. But I mean, Nicky Lopez is slated. This is Roster Resources. Nicky Lopez is slated behind him. Then Salvador Perez, who hit 48 home runs last year. Andrew Benintendi, who was maybe better than you remember. Bobby Witt Jr., who we all assume will be there and will be banging the ball out of the park. Adalberto Mondesi, Hunter Dozier, Kyle Isbell, and Michael Taylor, you know, depending on how you want to work that back end of the lineup. So Whit Merrifield's maybe like a 115 runs scored prospect, I think.
Could be.
Right. I mean, he can score a lot of runs. And you like Whit Merrifield anyway for the, you know, the home runs and the steals. Obviously, the steals more. You know, he's going to be steady and average. I mean, you look at Kansas City Royals, you don't think runs, but he could be a run machine.
Yeah.
Sleeper runs, Al.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I think sometimes people underrate players on teams that they think are going to be bad. And I just, you know, I think about Freddie Freeman on the bad Braves teams.
Yes.
Still putting up numbers. So I think Merrifield can do that this year.
The Al Bold prediction.
Which, again, on the face of it probably doesn't sound very bold at all, but I've got Salvador Perez hitting 45 home runs this year. And, you know, after 48, that might not seem like a big deal, but only one projection system, and that's the BAT, has him at 40, and the BATX has Perez at 35, which is pretty much in line with the other systems. So, you know, everybody's kind of looking at a pretty major, you know, revision there, a pretty major regression of the home run power. But let's play the 2020 game again. 13.9% barrel rate that season, 16.3% last year. So it looks like there really was a step up in 2020. That's hard to just wave off because he, you know, repeated it and then some in a full season last year.
It's 2020. He was coming back from the surgery still, right?
Yeah.
Which makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And finally, my bold prediction for the Kansas City Royals, Nicky Lopez steals 30 bases. Again, I guess I should have consulted the projection machines like you've been doing all show to see how bold that is. But in my brain, I don't think anyone out there is thinking that Nicky Lopez is even like a 15 steal kind of player in these drafts. When you talk about, you know, I need to get some speed, no one's mentioning Nicky Lopez. Like, oh, get Nicky Lopez. He'll get you, you know, he stole 22 bases last year. So I think pegging him for 30, you know, full-time duty, I think he can get to 30. I think he can do it.
I like that. I think that he's a polarizing player because I've heard people like in the chat rooms of my mocks be really excited about him, and people who are like really dismissive and, you know, think
people
that
do not like Nicky Lopez. They do not like him.
Some do. But yeah, I think that the consensus probably is to disregard what he did last season,
which is garbage. I mean, he's going to play three positions. He's eligible at three, I believe, in most leagues. He's only 26, you know, because he's a light hitter. Is that the problem?
I think so. And just that he wasn't really offering much fantasy wise before last season. And yeah, you know, I think he came up with some fanfare, you know, people thinking he was going to be like a batting average steals guy. And then he wasn't, but then he was, but people maybe already had it in their minds that just wasn't what he was going to live up to.
It also might be in my, in our OOTP league that we ran during the 2020 stall pause. Nicky Lopez was putting up like MVP. He was, I think he was MVP type numbers through like 2/3 of the season. I don't know if you remember that, Al, but like Nicky Lopez on the leaderboard for almost everything.
I had forgotten that, but that's right. Yeah, he was a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, the OOTP engine loves him.
Yeah, well, you know, I talked about this on some previous episodes. I know I talked about with DVR with when I ran the Astros in that simulation and how Chaz McCormick not only had a performance that was very similar to what he actually did last year, but the timing of it, like coming out strong and then regressing gradually as the year went on, like was like exactly what he did in the sim.
Who knew? OOTP knows too much.
Yeah, it's scary.
So that is your American League Central. We hope you enjoyed it. I mean, obviously check out Roster Resource for any holes that we may have here, but you know, that we didn't talk about. But it's an interesting division. Al, give me the predicted order of finish and let's get out of here.
Oh man. All right. Well, got the White Sox first. I think feel like it's bold, but put the Tigers second.
I like it.
Yeah, and then I'm going to say then Twins, then Royals, and then Cleveland.
It's tough because you look at that Cleveland lineup, and I know people think it sucks, but I also like I look at it and I'm like, there's some potential there, man. They got some young bats. And then, you know, they always do well at pitching.
It seems like they always do better than I think they're going to, so that last place prediction is probably not going to age well.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we just looked at Kansas City and their lineup's solid. You know, we looked at Minnesota and they're good. I feel like maybe this would be like Chicago with a 10.5 game lead, you know, in halfway through the season with everyone else right around 500, maybe. Probably not. I think that sounds crazy if you are like most people and don't like the Guardians, but I think they got something, man.
Yeah. No, that actually sounds really reasonable.
Let's go wild card Tigers.
I'm in.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'm sorry I'm not DVR. You know, no one is. But this has been the Al Melky Hour with Al Melkier. And you can find him on Twitter at AlMelkCBS. And I'm NandoCBS. And it's been...
Don't look for those addresses.
Anyway, thank you all for joining us. We hope you enjoy. We hope this is helpful. You hope you enjoyed it and got something out of it. I don't know which division is up next. Al probably does more than I do because I won't be here. But, you know, keep listening. Keep subscribing. Keep liking. Much appreciated. Bye.